In between ending my work at my previous church and moving here to Roseburg, our family decided to take a short vacation. And we decided to go to the island of Lanai. Has anyone been to Lanai? I see one hand. It is the ideal place to go and do nothing. Just rest and relax, which was what we needed and really enjoyed. It is beautiful there. Beaches were wonderful. We saw dolphins. But it's not that easy to get there. The regular commercial airlines don't fly there. It's the smaller airlines that take little planes to get to Lanai because the airport's really little. One of our church members there happens to be a pilot, owns his own little four-seater plane. So to help us, he said he would take some of us there and two would have to fly the regular airlines. So Isaac, Amber, and I rode with Wayne while Iris and Claire rode the regular commercial airlines. On our way back, we were flying, and the plane's little, so you have to balance the weight. So Wayne, the owner of the plane, was in the front. He had Isaac next to him, and I was in the back with Amber. And as we were flying back to Honolulu, right in the middle of the ocean, Wayne looked over at Isaac and said, "Would you like to fly the plane?" What would a 10-year-old boy say? Yes. So he took a hold of the controls and he started flying the plane. And as he was holding the controls, Wayne is explaining to him what the gauges mean and how to keep the plane level, and showed him how to bank a little, and we were flying there. And as I sat in the back and thought about that, I know it was the thrill of a lifetime for Isaac. It was just so cool to be able to be actually flying an airplane by himself. I don't think he thought about the serious responsibility he actually had in those few moments that he was flying the plane, that our lives were literally in his hands. Any mistake that he made could have been tragic for all of us. But 10-year-olds don't tend to think about those kinds of things. Teenagers generally don't either. And that's why insurance companies, when you buy insurance for teenagers to drive, it's a lot more expensive than older people. They know something that a lot of people may not realize, that the front part of your brain, that's where you make judgments, that part does not fully mature until you're about in your mid-20s. And that might be why teenagers sometimes can be seen texting while they're driving. Not a wise thing to be doing, but don't often think about consequences when you're a teenager. But when you're in control, that control comes with responsibility. Who is the most powerful human being here on earth? Most people would probably say the President of the United States. The President of the United States has a lot of power, a lot of control, but with that control and power come a lot of responsibility. I know I don't ever want to be in that position where every decision that I make will have major consequences for millions of people, both positive and negative. And you've all seen the pictures of presidents when they first go into office and when they leave office and how much they have aged in those 4 or 8 years. It is because of the stress of bearing that responsibility of affecting so many people's lives with everything that you do. When you're in control, that may feel good, it may be exhilarating, but it also is very serious because of the responsibilities that come with that power and control. It is also true for us when it comes to Christianity. And this is why I believe being a Christian is one of the best, it is the best way to live in this world right now. Because when you choose to become a Christian, what that choice really involves is choosing to give control of your life over to God. When God has control of your life, who has responsibility for what happens to you? God does, not you. If you maintain control of your life, who's responsible? You are, for everything that happens, including the things that you cannot control. You know, as powerful as the President of the United States is, and as hard as he will work to help our country, and as hard as he and the other government leaders have worked to try and improve our economy, here comes Hurricane Irene, with the potential of causing billions of dollars of damage to the East Coast of the United States. And when things like that happen, who gets blamed? Our government gets blamed because you haven't done enough to help us. When I was an intern, it was really nice because whenever people would come to me with problems, I could just say, go see the senior pastor. He's in charge. He's in control. So when I became senior pastor, it was nice to have the title, but then all the problems came to me. When you keep control of your life, you also keep the responsibility for everything that happens. When you give control over to God, God is saying, now I am responsible, and I'll take care of things. And that, I believe, is the basic message of today's parable. If you'll open your Bible again to Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, and look at verses 26 through 29. We are continuing our series of sermons looking at the parable of Jesus. And this morning, it is the parable of the sower, or the parable of the seed, or the parable of growth. It's been referred to in many different ways. But Jesus says, the kingdom of God is like this. It's like a man scattering seed on the ground, and this seed grows and sprouts. The man, the farmer, goes to sleep at night, rises in the day, and he may not fully understand the science behind how this seed grows and matures and becomes fruitful. All he knows is that in the end, he will be able to harvest the fruit. Jesus says, this is what the kingdom of God is like. When that seed is sown, when Jesus sowed the seeds of the gospel while he was here on earth, the kingdom of God grew. And we may not understand completely how that happens and how that works, but one thing we can know for certain is that in the end, there will be a harvest, and that harvest will be fruitful. Jesus says this is what his kingdom is like. And really, we can say this is what the church is all about. The Christian church began a couple of millennia ago when Jesus was here and called to his side those 12 disciples. Simple, mostly uneducated, very common men. But from those 12 men, the church has grown. Till now, it encompasses the world. And there have been many attempts made to destroy the Christian church. The Roman Empire tried it. Communist nations have tried it. But the church continues to grow and flourish. The devil has tried everything he can to eliminate God's kingdom from this world. And yet, God's kingdom continues to flourish. And why is that? Well, we really cannot explain it completely. The same way that most of us cannot fully explain how a seed grows and matures and becomes fruitful. What we can know is that this is God's kingdom. God is in control, and so God says, I will be responsible for the growth of my kingdom just as I am responsible for the growth of plants. God, at the same time, will use human beings as agents through whom he will create some of this growth. And sometimes the consequences of that can be rather frustrating and even discouraging. Where did the Christian church start? In Palestine, right? What is the dominant religion in Palestine today? Well, either Judaism or Islam, right? That part of the Middle East, predominantly Islam. What about Europe? There was a time in the history of Europe when all of the nations of Europe were Christian nations. The kings and queens of Europe were all Christians. What is Europe like today? Extremely secular and materialistic. And what about our own country? Our founders were all devout Christians. And what is the United States like today? Almost as secular as Europe and other parts of the world. It's been fascinating to see that when Christianity becomes the dominant religion of a part of our world, what happens next? It declines and almost disappears. And why does that happen? Well, if you think back historically, wherever the church has been dominant, it has united with government to maintain that dominance. And government has united with the Christian church to strengthen itself because Christians are dominant. And whenever you unite church and government, the result is always the decline of the church. That happened in Palestine under the Roman Empire. It happened in Europe, and it's happening in the United States. We need to allow God to remain in control of the church. If God is truly in control, the church will flourish. And yes, God appoints human beings, pastors, administrators. And when we human beings forget that this is really God's church, that's when we run into problems. And that's when the church will begin to decline. When we look at the condition of the Christian church around us, especially here in the United States, it can be discouraging. Most Christian churches today are either at a plateau or in decline. And we can wonder, what is God doing? Why is God allowing this to happen to his church? And we may not be aware that there are other parts of the world where the church is exploding. Not just flourishing, but just multiplying incredibly in parts of Africa, South America, parts of Asia. Amazing things are happening. God is growing his kingdom. The only question is, will we allow God to be in control of his kingdom here in Roseburg? Is God truly allowed to be in control of this church? Are we here doing what we want, what we think is best, or are we doing what God wants us to be doing? That's the important question for us. Who's in control, God or us? Are we allowing this to be God's church, his kingdom, or are we trying to be in control? Just last night, I was visiting with one of our neighbors who happens to be in law enforcement and quite high up in the ranks of this particular branch of law enforcement here in Roseburg. And when he found out that I'm a pastor, he said, "Wow, I never realized what a tough job you pastors have." And he shared with me how he's gotten acquainted with a couple of pastors in the community over the last few years. And he says, as I've listened to them talk about the problems they deal with in their churches, it makes me realize that my job as a police officer is not as tough as I think it is sometimes. You ministers have it just as bad. And as I reflected on that, I thought, you know, he's right, but then he's also wrong. Yes, it is a challenging job, but ultimately, I'm not responsible. This is not my church. This is God's church. And God is the one who is responsible. Yes, there are problems, but I'm not the one who's supposed to solve the problems. Because this is God's church, he's the one who will solve the problems. And my job is simply to keep pointing you to Jesus. Keep reminding you that this is God's church. This is not my church. This is not the board's church. This is God's church. And as long as we allow him to be in charge and in control, God has promised, I will be responsible for everything that happens here. And he'll take care of us. Nobody here can do a better job than God. We just need to let him do his job. In Luke 17:21, Jesus said, the kingdom of God is within you. God's kingdom is not only around us, around this whole world. His kingdom is also inside of us. When you accept Jesus into your life, when you accept his gift of salvation, God's kingdom comes within you. And that kingdom, like that seed inside of you, is supposed to grow. And it will grow as long as you allow God to continue to be in control of your own life. God is supposed to be in control not only of our church, but also of our own personal lives. And when we allow God to be in control of us, again, he takes responsibility for our growth. That doesn't mean that there's nothing we need to do. If you plant the seed and do nothing else, will it grow? If it's a weed, it might. But if it's something that you want, usually you need to do things like pull out the weeds and water it, and make sure it's properly fertilized and receiving the nourishment that it needs to grow. The same is true with us as human beings. We give control to God, but we need to do our part so that we can grow. Spending time in the Word, praying, being together and studying together and encouraging each other so that we can grow as God has called us to grow. And we need to remember that just as different seeds grow differently, we as Christians grow differently as well. I can remember as a little boy, my grandfather who lived with us always kept a garden in our backyard. And one of his favorite things to grow were radishes. And I remember him planting those radish seeds, and in just a couple of months, we were eating radishes. Well, when we moved here, about a year after we moved here, we bought a little plum tree, planted that plum tree in our front yard, and it's been 3 years. For the last 2 years, there have been maybe one or two plums, and either the birds or the deer got it. We have not eaten any plums. But this year, the tree is loaded with plums. It's been 3 years, but we are finally going to be able to enjoy some plums. Some things grow faster than others. Some things will be fruitful faster than others. And the same is true with Christians. Some Christians grow faster than others. That doesn't mean that one is better than the other. That doesn't mean that something is wrong with you if you're growing slowly. Some things just grow slower than others. But in the end, we are all to be fruitful for the kingdom of God. We are all to bear those fruits of the Spirit, which are love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, kindness, self-control, all to glorify God. And God is saying, I will be responsible for that. You just let me be in control of your life, and I will see to it that you are fruitful. There is a certain kind of sweet potato, and because I'm Okinawan, it's an Okinawan sweet potato, and our family would often eat it when I was growing up, and it is purple, and it is incredibly sweet. It is like eating candy. And I had an uncle who would grow these sweet potatoes in his garden. And I would envy that, and he told us one day, these are so easy to grow. Just stick them in the ground and they just grow. And so he actually gave us some little seedlings, and so we stuck it in our ground and trusted him that they would just grow, and they did grow. The problem was, it was hard to know when it was time to harvest. And so I actually tried to pull some out to see, and they were not ready. And I tried to stick them back in, but they died. And I think there's a lesson in that. The temptation is for us to ask ourselves, how am I doing? How am I growing? It's like pulling out that plant to see, how's it growing? Don't do that. Don't worry about that. God is saying, I'm responsible, I'll take care of it. Let God be responsible for your growth. You just let him be in control. Do your part in keeping yourself fertile through the word, through prayer. God will take care of the rest. Look at Philippians 1, verse 6. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Paul says, and I am sure that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. God has begun his work in every single one of you. And Paul says he is certain, he is confident, he's sure that he will bring it to completion. He will bring you to the harvest when Jesus comes and takes us home. All we need to do is be certain that we allow God to stay in control of us every moment of every day. Is this your desire, to let God be in control? If it is, would you just raise your hand and say, yes, God, take control of my life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for planting your kingdom in our hearts as well as in our world. And I pray, Father, that you will honor the decision that each person has made by raising his or her hand towards you, inviting you to again be in control of their lives. Fill them with your spirit. And Father, take control of our church, your church. Take responsibility for all that happens here. Help us to simply be your servants, your hands, your feet, your eyes, your ears, your lips, so that you can accomplish your will in this world and grow your kingdom so that many souls will be ready for the time when our Savior comes to take us home. We give you all the thanks, all the praise, and all the glory. In Christ's name, amen.